Amen.
Well, it's good to see everybody out at the home group meeting tonight. Amen. And I have a little bit of housekeeping I have to take care of. I get a lot of emails from a lot of people that listen to the home group meeting overseas. I'm just always surprised at who's listening. I think I will have over 250,000 hits on our website this year. It just keeps growing and growing and growing, and I'm just thankful for that. But I have some housekeeping to take care of. And the housekeeping is, his name is Freddie Everett. And he's my blood brother from another mother. Because there's been a number of you all have said, who's that other guy that's sharing in the home group meeting? And so anyway, his name is Freddie Everett. And he's a very special and dear friend of mine. And so that's the other fellow that has been sharing in the home group meeting. And do you have any comments or things like that, I could maybe forward your emails or whatever to him, and then you can personally talk and run up this stuff. Amen. So let's go ahead and let's get into Wilderness Truths from Modern Times 58. And as we do, and as custom, to get our hearts pointed in the right direction, I have about 3 points I would like to quickly discuss from the last time we came together. But before I even get into that, I would like to ask you just to open up your spirit. You know, any time that we handle the things of God, you know, it must be received by the Spirit. Because if we do not get it by the Spirit, then we will not get it. You cannot get the things of God, because the carnal man receives not the things of God. You can only get the things of God by your spirit. And so if your spirit is closed, then nothing's going to get through. So we have to open up our spirit and say, well, how can I do that? Well, one of the best ways we open up our spirit is have a desire for the truth. It's not important that we know all truth, but it's important we have a desire for truth. And when we come to the Word of God, we bring no bias with us. Oh, I know that verse, and that verse is this, and this is what this verse means, and that's wrong. So we don't do that. What we do is we come to the Word of God, and then we open up our spirit, and allow the Holy Spirit to tell us and teach us, because He's the teacher, not me, or Brother Freddie, but He's the teacher, and that way then we know what the Holy Spirit wants us to know. And so we open up our spirit, we bring no bias, you know, and we allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Amen? So I would encourage everyone to do that. The first point I'd like to share from last time we were here was, believers reveal their hearts to others. Amen? Let me say that again. That's worth writing down. Believers reveal their hearts to others. And I've asked my sweet and beautiful wife to go ahead and read 2 Corinthians 3. And this reads 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3 also. A really surprising verse. Amen?
2 Corinthians chapter 3. Ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Verse 3. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart.
Amen. We are the epistle. We are the epistle written by the hand of God. And we are revealed to men. Our life is revealed to men. And so believers, they reveal their hearts to others. And how do we do that? We reveal our hearts to others by what we say and what we do. So that's why we must be very, very careful with our word. Word selection is very, very important. I don't know how many people have been destroyed, and maybe these people in this room here, as a child they've been told, you will not amount to anything. I've heard people say that they have been told they wish that they would have never been born. And how many times have we crushed people by saying words and things like that? And we should never, ever do that, because believers, you know, we reveal our hearts to others. Amen? That speaks of our character. And the second point is, our character is God's number one focus in our life. It's not how long we can speak in tongues. It's not how much money we give. It's not how good we can sing or all of that stuff. And all that stuff has to happen, you know? But that's not God's number one focus. God's number one focus is our character. God's grand goal is to conform us into the character and the image and the nature of His dear Son, Jesus Christ. God is really, really concerned about our character. And I will tell you, there's a difference between character issues and sin issues. Character issues are not sin. Jesus did not die for our character. He died for our sins. I have many wonderful friends that are good Bible teachers, and they have character flaw after character flaw after character flaw that prevent the gospel from being freely shared, that prevent people from really listening and understanding what they have. Our character is just so, so important. And the last point that we looked at last time was bad situations and circumstances and all of those things in our life that really just don't work out does not change our character. Doesn't change our character. Our character is what it is. Our character is what we have allowed God to make it in. We have allowed God to make our character this way or that way. In bad circumstances and situations, does not change that. The only thing that changes our character is us allowing God to work in our life and deal and judge in our life and bring us to certain decision points to where we have to either agree with Him or disagree with Him. Amen? I mean, that's what it's all about, right? Amen. So tonight, Wilderness Truth for Modern Times, number 58. Now, when we talk about the wilderness, we talk about those tough situations and those hard things that we go through in life that God brings us into so that our way there is a learning way. It is a way that we can learn those things of God. That's with the children of Israel, when they went through the desert, when they went through the different wildernesses. And, of course, this is lesson 58. And we are now in the wilderness of Kinnamah, the wilderness of Kinnamah. And of course, in the Greek, in the wilderness of Kinnamah is a forward progression. And as we saw a couple months ago, that God was looking for a forward progression in the children of Israel, but they never got it. They never got it. And they could not move forward. There was not any forward progression in the children of Israel, and so they wandered and they died and they just had a hard time. Amen. Tonight, what I like to do, I like to talk about victory. Wow, victory! Remember, if you don't write anything down tonight, there is no defeat in God. Let me say that again. It is impossible. God has never lost. There is no defeat in God. In God, if we're in God and in God, there is only victory. So if you're looking for defeat, don't look for it in God, because there's only victory in God. And that is a mindset, that is an understanding that we must possess in our lives if we're going to be successful in God. Amen? So Judges 14, 5 and 6 says this, and of course this is talking about Samson. It says, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid. And he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And this is, of course, this is when, you know, Samson took the lion, and of course, later the lion was used by Samson to will, out of the eater came sweets. So this was that same lion there. Amen. Victory. As an enemy against the children of God, Sion became God's enemy. And a couple of, I think it was about a month ago, we were talking about the king of Sion, and Moses wanted to go ahead. This is in that wilderness of Kinnamah. Moses just wanted to peacefully go through past the king of Sion, but the king of Sion did not want to do that. And so he attacked the children of Israel, and that was a big mistake, because any enemy against the children of Israel becomes an enemy of God. And let me say that again. And in your life, any enemy against you becomes an enemy of God. If you're walking with the Lord and you have a personal relationship with you and He's your child, any person that comes against you and does things against you, they become an enemy of God. and it is not up to us, it was not up to the children of God, or children of Israel, to conquer this enemy, or the king of Sion, by their own strength alone. Now, let me talk about the enemy a little bit. Now, I'm not a big enemy person. I'm just not. Now, yeah, I know we think of the enemy, we always think about Satan and this and that, but the word enemy in the Bible usually is used as symbolically as anything or anyone that comes against God. Anything or anyone that comes against God, before Satan is against God. But I'm not a big enemy person, even with Satan, because Satan has been defeated, amen? And we need not focus on Satan. If we're going to spend time focusing on something, don't focus on Satan. We need to focus on God, right? Satan has been defeated. And if we focus on Satan, well, then there's power that we're giving him, and that's not what we know to happen, amen? Amen? So too, our enemy becomes God's enemy. And so too, it is not our place to conquer the enemy, but God's. It was God's responsibility, because of Moses' relationship with God, to conquer the enemy. Not Moses' responsibility. It was not depend, the victory did not depend upon Moses, the victory depended upon God, because the king of Sion made himself an enemy to Moses, and when that happened, then he made himself an enemy to God. But as an enemy judged and defeated by God, he is delivered into the hands of the children of Israel for the execution of God's will. So someone that becomes an enemy of yours, God will deliver them into your hands. If they come against you, as with the king of Sion, then Moses, the king was delivered into Moses' hand for the execution of God's will. And of course, if you read the story, the king of Sion was soundly trounced, he was soundly defeated, and the children of Israel took the spoils and they marched through. Well, that, believe it or not, is still a principle in our life. Someone that comes against us really is coming against God, and if we are in the right heart condition in the right place, then God, in His time, will deliver that person into your hands to execute His will. That, I will tell you, is a very humble place, because there you can either give judgment or you can give grace and mercy. And that is the place of walking with God. When you can come to the place when this person has mistreated you and treated you bad, and God has delivered them into your hands to judge them and then pass judgment. What do you do? Amen. That's a sign of spiritual growth and maturity. Amen. But we must never, ever come. We must never, ever come to a place where we are zealous to do anything for God. But we must wait for Him. We must always wait for Him. Amen. We may have a will, as Moses once did, be zealous to get our hands upon the enemy, to give them several stings and swat and sending them sprawling to the sand. But that is not the heart condition that we need to have. God will conquer them, and as God conquers them, we allow, and we wait for God to do that, and we must not ever, ever be zealous to do anything for God. Zealousness for God is a sign of immaturity. Let me say that again. Zealousness for God is a sign of immaturity. That means you don't know how to speak. You don't know when to speak. There's just so many spiritual things. When we are zealous, we want to do, when we want to go. No, what we want to do is we want to wait for God's timing and for His direction. Because when we go, then we'll be able to do those things. Moses really, really messed up here. This really messed up God's plan for the children of Israel and Moses. But remember that Joshua, he was tied up there, and this Egyptian was going to go ahead and was going to kill Joshua, and Moses attacked the Egyptian and killed him and took his life. Well, that really messed up Moses, and that really messed up God for a little bit. Well, it didn't mess up God, but messed up His plan, and so God had to rework some things to bring Moses into the place where he needed to be. Amen. And that is not what God had in mind for Moses, nor for us today. It is God who delivers our enemy into our hands. Let me say that again. It is God who delivers our enemy into our hands. And we're talking about victory, right? We can do things, can't we? Yes, we can. We have power. We have thought. We have ability. We can do things. But it is God who delivers our enemies into our hands. Moses had strength and ability. And he killed that Egyptian. He could do that. And that set Joshua free and so forth. But that's not what God wanted to do. Because God delivers our enemies into our hands. It is then they become powerless in our grip. We can see this in the case of Samson here in Judges 14, 5 and 6. Amen? It is not our wit and our power. No, it's not our wit and our power. That we have nice things. God has blessed us. Amen? Have a nice house. We've got a nice car. We've got a nice job. We've got all of these nice things. And we think often that this is us, and we do that. But that's not true. Oh, no. No, God has blessed us. All of the things that we have, all of those nice things, all, and even, you know, everything that God has given us, God has blessed us. We have not done anything. We have not done anything. God has given us those things. He's blessed us. Barack Obama said, you know, he was talking about something, and he said, well, you didn't build that. And it's true. They didn't build that. But wait a minute, I didn't build this house. God gave me this house. He gave me a nice truck. God gave me all these blessings in my life. I didn't do anything. God blessed me. Amen? That is the mindset that we all must have. We must have that. A young lion roared against Samson, and the Spirit of God came upon him. Wow. Your enemy roars at you. So you can go punch him in the nose, or you can allow the Spirit of God to come upon you. Samson is not characterized by a spirit which says, "Archo, you, I've got the power." The church today goes around and says, "I got the power, you got the power, we got the power, let's go do things." But Jesus says, "I have no power. I have no power except for what the Father gives me." The church needs to realize that we have no power. We have no ability. That word power there in the Greek is dunamis. Or let's forget the word dynamite. You know, we have no power. Because God delivers our enemies into our hands. This is not an antagonistic spirit which comes upon him, making him so bad that he tears the lion into pieces. In the Bible, wrath is only appropriate in God. Isn't that amazing? The word wrath is only assigned to and given to God. That's it. Not with man. It does not belong in the heart of man. Wrath is not anger. Wrath is an uncontrollable anger that you just lose it. You can be angry and sin not. But when you get wrathful, you just get so uncontrollable and you don't know what you're doing. And believe it or not, wrath is only assigned to God in the Bible. Because he knows that a man cannot handle that. God pours forth wrath. Man does not. God settles scores, not man. God conquers our enemy and gives them into our hands. Samson had nothing in his hand. This refers to no normal faculty to execute his fear. John 15:5 says, "I am the vine." This is Jesus talking. "I am the vine, ye are the branches." We are the branches. We are not the vine. Amen? We are not the vine. Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. "He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing." What a salient truth that the church needs today. We need to come to the understanding that without Christ, we can do nothing. I will tell you, the church, well, Jesus will either make the church fruitful or he will make these Christians firewood. Because John 15 talks about those Christians that are not fruitful, he cuts them down, and men carry them away and burn them up. God will either make us fruitful in him, or he will make us firewood. Amen. We need to really, really learn this very, very well. Amen. Victory comes by learning. Victory in God comes by learning. And we need to learn this very, very well, because we think we can do things, and we can. We do have an ability. We do have power. Moses did kill the Egyptian, you know? But when we do the things, often they are not the things that God wants to have done. God did not want Moses to kill that Egyptian. He did not. But Moses did it anyways, because he was full of wrath and he had not allowed God to work in his heart. The only way that we will ever be able to do what God wants us to do is when we allow God to change our heart. When we allow God to get into our life and bring some dealings and judgments in our lives and expose us for who we really are. And this, my friend, is a very humbling experience, but it is a very painful process often, because we have to agree that we're not the person we think we are. We're not as big and brave and tough and all that good stuff, and we're not as talented as we are. We learn that we have to really depend upon Jesus, amen? Which is, the place of understanding, and this is the place of growing in God. With him in the full sense of the meaning, we have in our hands all that is necessary to execute his will. In the final analysis, he gives us the victory which we think we have won. Wow, look at that new car. Yeah, I bought that car. Yeah, I got that. No, you didn't. You didn't buy that. Who are you trying to fool? That's not, you didn't do that. God gave that to you. What? Oh, yeah, well, I told him I conquered. You didn't conquer him. God conquered him, and he gave him into your hands. Wow. God does it all. Everything for us. The victory, the good things, and the defeats. Uh-oh. Now, we like the victories, but the defeats also. God brings defeat into our life. God would rather bring defeat into our life than victory. Because the victory only carries us so far. But I promise you, when God brings the defeat in your life, you are on your knees. Oh, God, why don't you get on God on first? Man, a good victory is good, but I will tell you, a defeat in our life will bring us down. It will bring us closer to God. Remember, the way up is down. Amen? If you want to go up, you better go down, right? And with these defeats, these bad things, and God brings them into our life for our benefit. For our benefit. We must never see Satan defeating us. Never. Never ever say Satan is defeating us. He has no power in our life. If there's defeat in our life, it's because God has brought it there. Not Satan, not somebody else. There's no other power. If you are walking with God and you are a Christian, the only power that can affect your life is God. There's no other power out there. Or you're not walking with God. Or you don't have that relationship the way that you need to. Satan can never do anything like that. Amen? If there is to be forward progress, remember that's what Kenemoth means, moving on in our victorious Christian living, we must deliver ourselves into God's hands. Have you ever done that? Have you ever delivered yourself into God's hands? Every time I travel, when the airplane takes off, and when we were, Romania, Bulgaria, I grabbed my wife's hand and I would say, Lord, into thy hands I commend my body, my soul, and my spirit. And I meant that. I'm delivering our body, our life, into God's hands. But this is different here. We must deliver ourselves into God's hands and take our orders from him. Now that's different than, Lord, my body, my soul, my spirit. And yeah, I meant that. But when we deliver ourselves into God's hands, we're saying, God, you are in charge. You are the king. I'm some pauper. I'm some little knave down here or whatever. and you're going to stand on the throne of my heart, and I'm going to deliver myself, my body, and my thinking, and my abilities, and my talents, and all those things into your hand. And Lord, you will go ahead, and you will make those decisions for me. Amen? Wow, that's a tough place to come to in God. And it is not us for us to move in our intentions, fulfilling our own will. It is not for us to execute our decisions upon the enemy. We're not supposed to do that. Watch. You know, watch this. This is all throughout the Bible. You know, we just need to kind of read the Bible. We must come to a place where we see God is in charge, maybe sitting down, of everything in our lives. Wow. I mean, that is a place of commitment, and that is a place of understanding, but that is a place where we really say, God, you know, you are the vine, I'm the branches, you know, that everything in our lives, God is in charge of. Do not spend more time listening to preachers and teachers and reading books and, than you can in reading the Bible. The Bible is our place of anchor in truth. I'll say that again. The Bible is our place of anchor in truth. In the Bible, watch the prerogatives of God versus the prerogatives of man. All throughout the Bible, there is a contrast of what God wants and what man wants. In our world today, every problem, every social issue that we have in America is because man has went against what God has said. God says, I don't want abortion. Man says, I want abortion. God says, I don't want homosexuality. Man says this. You know, it's always that prerogative. Every social issue that we've got going on, man has went against what God... I mean, God says, love your brothers. Oh, no, I can't love my brother. You know, every social issue. We must come to a place where God, we see God is in charge of everything in our life. My books. Book. My books. Any kind of books and all that good stuff, that's all supplemental reading. It's all supplemental reading. You know, a lot of people, see on TV, and you got to get this book. Oh, this guy, a T.D. Jakes book here, and this guy here, and what's that one guy in Shadow Mountain in Denver, big guy, big Baptist guy. Who?
Joyce Myers.
No, not Joyce Myers. Oh, my gosh. I knew her before she had a plastic surgery. But anyways, okay. But David Jeremiah and all these big guys, you know, you got to get their book. No, you don't got to get their book. You got to get this book, and that's the Bible. Because if you read another man's book, or even my books, all you're doing is reading another man's revelation. This is what God said to me in this book. And so now here you go. Well, that's not going to help me. I want the revelation that God has for me. We used to sing a song, Carolyn, called Abraham's Blessings Are Mine. Abraham's Blessings Are Mine. Well, one day I said, wait a minute. I don't want Abraham's blessings. I want my blessings. I want the blessings that God has for me. That's a wonderful song, and Abraham's blessings are wonderful, but I don't want Abraham's blessings. I want the blessings that God has purposed and planned for my life. I don't want to read another man's revelation. I want to have the revelation that God is going to give. I want my own revelation. Amen? Moses did not have to change his spirit of peace or one of his agnostic, simply because the king of Heshbon or Sion, it's all the same thing, is moving against him. Moses had never thought that he had to knock over every king in his path. His basic concern was the will of God. So as Moses went to Kinemoth, first he went to Sion, defeated him. God, gave him over. Then he went to pass the kingdom of Heshbon. God did the same thing. He gave those into the hands of the children of Israel. And Moses didn't have to plan and execute, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. That wasn't Moses' function. Moses' function was, his basic concern was being in the will of God. Let me say that again. Moses' basic function and his concern was being in the will of God. He didn't have to do all of these things. All he had to do was keep his eyes on the Lord. Turn your eyes unto Jesus. And as Moses did that, victory after victory after victory happened. Well, that is a lesson in our life also. We don't have to do all of these things. Try to make this happen and try to make that happen. No, no, no. If it's going to happen, God needs to make it happen. We just need to keep our focus on God and let that be a basic concern of us in walking in the will of God. God delivers kings into the hands of the children of Israel who received the victory that God gives. God gave the victory to the children of Israel. Right? Children of Israel didn't do anything as long as Moses had that focus on them. So too, our basic concern needs to be God's will. Our basic concern needs to be God's will and not trying to make it happen or trying to do this or trying to do that. Like if something else matures out from this home group meeting, our focus is not trying to do this and trying to do that and you know, this and that. Our focus needs to be to do what God wants, what His will is in this group of believers, and then there will be great success. There will be victory. Amen? Later out of the will of God, Israel herself is defeated on a number of occasions. This whole thing of victory moves upon God's prerogatives and His intentions. Zechariah 4:6, a wonderful verse, everyone is pretty familiar with it. And it says, then he answered and spake unto them, saying, this is the word of the Lord. It is of the Zerubbabel. Never can say that word. Mm-hmm. Not by might, thank you very much. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. That's how it happens. That's how victory happens. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. That's the way victory is won in all Christians. Not by our abilities and our talents and all of those things. It is won by the Spirit of God. Amen?
Amen.
We can move out of God. We can move out of God's will and get what we can, or we can move with God and get only victory. Now, I know a lot of Christians, they do that. They purposely move out of what they know. I mean, and you've heard that before. I know God wanted this, but we did this, you know, instead. Amen? So we can do that. Moses killed the Egyptian. And Joshua would say, but that's not what God wanted, right? So we can either stay in God's will and do what He wants, or we can move out. And when we move out of what God wants for our life, then we get what we get. And thus we get what we can get, right? And then we get what God gives us for moving out of His will. And that is not the place that you want to be. You don't want to be getting what you can get, or getting what God gives you, or what you get from God. You want to stay in God's will and move into that victory. Amen? Moses does not move against Sion. Deuteronomy 2:32. Then Sion came out against us, and he and all of his people to fight at Jabesh. So anyways, Moses is like, well, no, I don't want to fight. They came against Moses, and of course, well, keep on reading the story. God delivered them into his hands. Amen. David did not move against Goliath. No, he didn't. Sion and Goliath move against the children of God, and thus against God. So that's a very, very important point that, you know, I mean, I'm stressing, but I want to make it again. Anytime somebody moves against you, if you're a child of God, then they have made God their enemy. And that's not where you want to be, amen? In Moses and David, there is a response from God. And in us, our response needs to be, wait on what God is doing. Wait on what God is doing. God is always doing something in our life. In every situation in our life, God is doing something. He's always doing something. So we need to wait and see what God is doing in our life, because God is always doing something, in every situation in our life. But a lot of people have a hard time with that. They don't want to wait. They want to go ahead and they want to do something. Have you ever been to the grocery store before? And you're in the line, and you're there, and all you have is, you know, two or three things. Eva, did that ever happen to you, Eva? I've only got two or three things. Dress lines, clothes, and everybody ahead of me has 100 things. And you just gotta wait, you know. Then all of a sudden you start getting these thoughts like, man, get out of my way, come on, you know. And some people will even put their stuff down. Brandon, have you ever done that? You ever just put that stuff? I thought about that. Well, I don't got time. Because we don't like waiting. Well, waiting is the place of receiving from God. Let me say that again. That's important. Waiting is the place of receiving from God. So if you can't wait, then you will never, ever receive anything from God. Because waiting is the place of receiving from God. Amen? So part of me thoughts. I am never disturbed by enemies outside of my soul. If any enemy sets his power and forces against me, that is his problem, not mine. I have a strong high tower, Psalm 61:3, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. And again, the word enemy here is not Satan. It can be Satan. But it is anybody or anything that sets itself against you. Anything, anyone, it can be a sickness, it can be a disease, it can be poverty, it can be, the word enemy here is anything that sets itself against you because they have set themselves against God. Amen? I have no need to set myself against the enemy. I don't need to do that, right? It's not in my heart to strive with the enemy. If it's where it would distract me from my focus point, and that is the point, God and His will. So we strive to get with the enemy and fight with the enemy and do all of these things, that distracts us from our focal point of being on God. Amen. If we do, then we will move outside of God's plan for our lives. If we strive and we set ourselves against the enemy, we do all of these things, then we move ourselves outside of the plan that God has for our life. We are not to be against anyone or anything. Isn't that amazing? As Christians, we're supposed to love our enemies. That's pretty hard to do. Rich, what do you think?
Love your enemy.
Yeah, that's pretty hard to do.
Well, yeah. The scripture says in Proverbs 25:21, if your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. If he is thirsty, give him water to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you.
Amen. That's right. That's right. We are for God. We do not need to set ourselves against any enemy. We are for God. If God is against someone, then that is His business, not ours. My business is to serve God, doing what He wants me to do. Wow. That's good stuff right there. My business is to serve God and doing what He wants me to do. If He wants me to confront a hostile enemy and defeat him, fine. That is what I will do, but I will do it in His strength, in His strength. If we keep our focus on serving God, things will just work out. If we keep our focus on God, things will just work out. And they worked out in the wilderness of Kinnemah, you know, when Moses, you know, went up against, the kings and Simon and Heshen. It worked out for David. He didn't set himself against Goliath, and it worked out. And just, you know, that's where we need to be. If God is after someone or something, that is His business, and we need to keep our nose out of it. If God says go and fight, then we go and fight. But if not, we keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And last night I put this little note here to, you know, it says, you know, there are some people and some things we need not to pray for. There are some things and some people. God is working in some lives. God is doing some things in people's lives. and we just need to keep our nose out of it until God tells us to engage. So many times we just want to run over and help our brother and our sister, and God is doing some deep work in their life. And oftentimes we do things without really consulting the Lord. We just want to do that because you're supposed to pray for everybody. But we need to be led by the Spirit and wait for God's direction, His leading, because then the heart has been soft, then the ground has been plowed, and then the Spirit is able to work. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to you now, dear Lord, we just thank you and we praise you for your love and your many blessings, Father, Lord. We thank you for your victory, Father, Lord God. Lord God, we thank you, Father, Lord God, for, Lord, that anyone that becomes our enemy, Father, Lord God, they become your enemy. And Lord, give us the patience and give us the thought and the power, Father, Lord God, not to move, Father, Lord God, to wait upon you, Father, Lord. You are the vine. We are the branches, Father, Lord God. And we love you and we thank you, Father, Lord God, for all you purpose in our life, Father. All that you want and purpose in our life is victory. And we just thank you and we praise you, Father, Lord. Even the defeats that you bring into our life, Father, Lord God, we thank you for those. For we know the learning process that, Lord, when we learn those lessons that you want us to learn, Father, Lord God, those defeats will turn into victories. And we just thank you and we praise you, Father. Lord, we pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen, amen. And amen.